Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down Club America's 3-0 victory against Atlético San Luis just minutes after that game has concluded. And, of course, we're going to be breaking down a little bit of what happened against Santos away in Torreón in that 4-1 victory as well. We'll talk about some transfer news and updates as the transfer window deadline comes to an end at the end of this week. And we'll get you guys prepared on all that stuff going on in and around the world of Las Águilas in regards to the transfers, and we'll finish off the show with a preview in regards to this weekend's matchup against Juarez. So, as you guys can tell, it's going to be a long itinerary, and it's going to be hopefully a very productive episode, and an episode that I'm starting off by myself, but hopefully, if time permits, Dylan will be joining on the podcast a little bit later on. But in the meantime, as things stand, it is a solo show. So, like I mentioned, lots to talk about, lots to kind of break down, a lot of interesting, a lot of fun stuff happening for America within this past couple of days. Obviously, we got that 4-1 thrashing away at Torreón against Santos, and now we're looking at a 3-0 victory against Atlético San Luis, a matchup in where I think we can all safely say America kind of coasted through and didn't really have to work too hard for it. I think there was lapses of misconcentration at times for America, and it didn't look like the sharpest matchup, but then again, I didn't think it had to be the sharpest matchup for America either, right? The Atlético San Luis team was coming into this game not in their hottest form, let's be honest. There was an Atlético San Luis that has been struggling for the first two jornadas, and I think America was able to capitalize on the fact that they weren't the Atlético San Luis of past, and so again, kudos to the team for doing what was expected of them, right? Which is always something that you want to see. Not necessarily always what we get, but it was nice to see that America finally is starting to look like themselves once again. And I know it's crazy to say that they didn't look like themselves last season whenever we did lift that Trin Campeonato. But the reality is we were struggling with injuries. You know, we were suffering with the fact that, you know, this team was plagued to be a hospital for the entirety of the Apertura. And slowly but surely, we were, you know, finding our form and finding players fit again. And everything matched up nicely in regards to the postseason. And America came in hot the way that they needed to. So, again, good stuff. And hopefully, we can continue to see that in regards to what America is capable of doing for the entirety of the season. But all right, let's jump into this matchup against Atlético San Luis. Let's talk about the things that I liked. We'll talk about some of the things I didn't like so much. But primarily, I think the one thing that we do need to highlight is the fact that, again, America stacks up three very, very important points against, like we already mentioned, a not-so-good Atlético San Luis side. And they continue this unbeaten form, right? And it's just them adding on to what the youngsters did at the beginning of the season, right? Where they were able to put in a good performance against Querétaro, now against Tijuana, and now the first team is doing justice by them and coming in and performing, getting those 3 points away in Torreón and now at home in such a quick turnaround too, because this doble jornada thing, you know, it kind of caught even us by surprise whenever we were talking about it last week. And it was good to see that the response and the performance merit the results that we ended up getting at the end of the final whistle for both games. So, I mean, two players that I kind of want to highlight in regards to this matchup and in regards to this game. Alejandro Sendejas, one, I think is, and definitely when you're talking about the Torreón match as well, and we'll circle back to that one. But as far as this game, Sendejas and Victor Dávila, right? Victor Dávila getting himself 2 goals on the night. Maybe they weren't the most flashiest of goals. Maybe they weren't the most impressive of goals, but they were important goals at the end of the day. You know, Victor Dávila is a player that came into this season with a chip on his shoulder, right? He has something to demonstrate. He didn't really get to produce what we wanted to see from him last season. Because again, he was injured, right? Had that injury curse that the majority of the rest of the squad had. And so I think that is unfortunate that he wasn't able to produce the magic that we're seeing at the moment. But for the most part, it's looking like he's starting to slowly but surely transition into the player that we want him to be. And interestingly enough, we all thought he was going to come in and maybe try to rival Brian Rodriguez on that left-hand side. For times, we were seeing him kind of play back up to Sendejas, and, or Sendejas was shifting to the midfield and he would play on the right-hand side. So we're seeing a new Victor Dávila, a new kind of player for America, a player that's taking up the number 9 role, right? Henry hasn't been available. Buffalo Aguirre is still recovering from his injury. And so you're seeing him slot into that number 9 position, and he's doing it very well. A couple of us were talking about it in the chat, and they were saying how, I think it was Christian primarily, who was saying that his runs were so natural to a number 9, which is interesting because he's not the tallest. He's not going to win you an aerial duel. But his movement on and off the ball is just fantastic. The way he just kind of slots into spaces, the way that he kind of makes runs and veers off defenders off their course and opens up channels for, you know, the likes of Chiquito Sanchez or Fidalgo to run into. I mean, honestly, it's a breath of fresh air to see a player like that come in, fit in a role. And now the interesting thing is, where does he fit after the likes of Henry Martin and Buffalo Aguirre are 100%. So it's a good dilemma for André Jardinier to have. And hopefully that means that we'll get to see yet again an even better version of America. Because does that mean that, you know, now Henry and Buffalo Aguirre have to come in and fight for their position? Or does it mean that, you know, Dávila gets kind of set back into the bench? And is he more of an impact player coming off the bench? So a lot of questions surrounding as to what this side's going to look like when all our pieces are fit. But it looks promising, that's for sure. And I do want to highlight Victor Dávila's game because I do think it was an impressive one. I think he got some really good runs in. The finishing was great. I mean, honestly, I could have probably had a hat trick. But at the end of the day, 2 goals. And you add on top of the one that he got away in Torreón on Saturday. It looks like it's looking good. You know, it's hopefully, for the most part, showing that Victor Dávila is here to fight for his starting position. And again, competition will always breathe good things into the squad. And so, yeah, shout out to Victor Dávila and Sendejas. I think, again, the most underrated and overvalued player that we have on this roster. I mean, well, he showcased against Santos, right, with those 2 goals. But this game alone, he was running everywhere. He had an intensity to him that was just very much likable. Like, he was not giving up any ball for dead. And even whenever he didn't, beat his man or didn't make a good pass, you always saw that there was a frustration in him. And he always chased it after the ball. He always tried to make sure he recovered it. And 9 times out of 10, even if he didn't get the ball, he was just hustling. And again, this is like minute 6-7 into the first half. And he's already going off like that. And so, again, so nice to see a player like that have such intensity. And I think he's always had it, to be honest. And it's something that we maybe have undervalued with him in an America jersey, right? We always want to see the end production to be goals and assists. And sometimes Sendeja's game is more about what he can produce for the team on the pitch, not necessarily looking at goals and assists, but more or less what can he kind of push the team forward. And what can he inspire into others to do as well? Because when he presses high, you kind of see that, you know, the rest of the forwards feel like they're obligated to follow in his footsteps and push the line high as well. And I think that is why we get to see such a very good America side doing the high press whenever Sendejas is kind of leading the lines. And again, the U.S. men national team player is showcasing why he deserves not only to continue to be the starter for Las Águilas in America, but maybe making you know, maybe throwing his name in the hat for a potential starting 11 spot with his national team as well. And you can see why there has been attraction from him in regards to Europe, right? MLS teams. It's because he's such a good player. And I think it was Profe Ibañez talking about it in the Santos matchup, right? That Sendejas, whilst there is interest, there is no way that a team can come in and take him away from America because it's going to be a huge price tag. And unless they're willing to meet the ridiculous price tag, then there is no way that, you know, they're willing to strike a deal for any other players. And Sendejas is vital to Jardine's system. And you can see that because you have to look just back into the last couple of months that we saw America in the Liguilla and the last couple of matches. He was so crucial to the way that Jardine's system fit. Even with that back five formation, he just seemed to be the engine next to Fidalgo. And I know they weren't necessarily playing next to each other, but you felt like if it wasn't one giving, then the other one was. And so, again, props to Sendejas for producing, you know, the magic that he's doing so on the pitch. And I guess all that's left to say is hopefully he can continue this good run of form and he can stay healthy. Because I think we missed him for a majority of the Apertura at the beginning due to the injury he sustained against Querétaro. And America struggled because of that. America really, really struggled. Jabairo isn't the same caliber of player. You know, he's not gonna press the defense the way that Sendejas does. And so, again, super, super vital player. And ultimately, like I said, a round of applause for them, for the team. You know, they came in, they got the job done. And I mean, what more can you say, right? I could be nitpicky here and I can say, you know, there's a couple of things in defense that I didn't like. There was a couple of passes that I didn't like. But ultimately, all of that kind of gets clouded by the fact that, look, the result is there. You won. You got yourself 3 goals. And you continue to scale the table. You know, hopefully with this result and with these goal differentials, it means that you continue to be in the first spot of the table. And I guess we'll have to wait to see how tomorrow ends and unfolds in the league. But it looks like things are promising for America going into the game against Juarez as kind of the number one team in the league at the moment. And I know it's still early days in the league and we shouldn't be paying too much attention to the table as things stand. But again, you want to stat pad as much as you can. You want to make sure that you can get as many goals, as many points in these matchups, in these so-called easy games. Because later on, as the season unfolds, as we get deeper into the year, you know that the competition is going to be staggering. The games are going to be quick and fast. And you need to have some sort of cushion going into these very difficult and back-to-back games that you're going to have in regards to the league, to the CONCACAF Champions Cup, to these friendlies. And so, yeah, it's important that America finds a way to have that security, right? And they're doing so very well when they go out there and demonstrate and have these type of games, you know? I'm trying to look here at my notes to see if I have anything specific that I want to add on besides the Victor Davila and Sendejas thing. I mean, look, Chiquito Sánchez is playing well. Right, I mean, we go on days and days about his performance and how he's looked better from the beginning. Brian Rodriguez came in, got a couple of minutes. I think it was great to see him. Super crucial for that first goal. Right, he could have tried to go all by himself and score it, but does the right thing, squares it to Victor Davila, and then he taps it into the back of the net. But Brian Rodriguez looked well. Not the sharpest still. I do think that there's moments in the game where I want him to do something a little bit different. Maybe not necessarily give the pass away. Try to take on another player or so. He has the ability. He's got the capability to be able to kind of, you know, break defenders. And he has the speed for it as well. So I want to see him be a little bit more head on and be a little bit more daring. You know, he has the ability. He has the skills. So, again, overall, for the minutes that he got and for this being his first game back, I like it. And who else was playing? I think, oh, I mean, Fidalgo got himself a goal. It's not something that we usually say a lot here on the podcast, right? Fidalgo. But again, I mean, he continues to be the heart of this midfield. And at times he is very frustrating to watch because you feel like he can do a little bit more. Can he be a little bit more daring? He does feel like he's a little bit in his shell when he comes to maybe taking a shot outside of the box, or maybe being a little bit more daring with his passing. Maybe wants to secure it, plays a little bit back. But again, he is the engine. He is the throttle. And sometimes he can definitely be the heart and soul of this America side. And so, again, showcases that he is important, he's vital. And look, the rest did him wonders. He's looked like he's found a fresh breath of air, because he is running around everywhere, you know, making movements on and off the ball, and he's making plays happen. And I know Christian, listening to this, is probably going to be super, super happy at the fact that, you know, we're praising Fidalgo here and all. But all right, looks like my long spiel and talk to myself is over. It looks like we've been joined by none other than the man himself, Mr. Cowboy Dan Dylan Jimenez. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. You know, just pretty excited, you know, after seeing that 3-0 win. I think that's something that obviously is going to put a smile on everybody's face, especially me when I go to bed. So very good, you know, just excited right now.
Absolutely. And you literally caught me at the end of my ramble, where I was kind of praising and highlighting the likes of Cendejas, the likes of Victor Davila, the fact that, you know, they were playing very well. Davila gets 2 goals on the night. Cendejas last weekend got 2 goals. Davila got 1. So it's looking like these players are coming in and doing a very good job. And I guess as nitpicky as I can be, and you know me, Dylan, I can be very nitpicky. Again, it was a delight to see America play and have these type of games, even with this type of rival, right? In a game where you think, yeah, well, it's kind of an easy pickings.
Yeah, no, I think this team, especially when it came to the league play, you know, I think this is exactly what we wanted to see, especially after seeing that U23 side, you know, really pick up those 4 points. And, you know, it just goes to show that this team is picking up, you know, where that momentum is kind of left off, which is a good sign, which is really good. Not just all the players that we've gotten in the first 2 games, but, you know, just seeing those likes of those players that are really key to this run, you know, to potentially, you know, grabbing the fourth in a row, that four-peat. So, you know, it's a good start. You know, it's something to really keep going and building on, and hopefully just keeping that momentum going. Because I know we need talked about it a lot, Ivan, is just finding that consistency. You know, it's obviously hard to be doing it, you know, for a whole 90 minutes, yet alone, you know, every game this season, you know. So, you know, it's a good start, you know. I think, you know, everybody's happy, you know. It just seems like this team's kind of firing on all cylinders, you know. You've seen a lot of good counters. You've seen a lot of good play going forward. And so, you know, you're just hoping this team could get that, keep it going, you know, going forward this season.
Absolutely. And one thing that I kind of want to highlight is, you feel like, especially watching these last 2 games that America had, you always have this feeling that if once they have 1 goal, the floodgates are going to open, right? You have that sense of like, all we need is 1 and the rest will start coming along. They're going to start falling in place. And I don't think we've had that feeling since maybe the Apertura of 2023, right? When we became the 14th time champion, where we just saw a very dominant America side, where you just felt like goals were a given. And it's nice to see that we're getting back to that sense of dominance, but as well as knowing how to manage the game, right? We're not being reckless. We're not just saying, okay, we're going to go for more because we want more. It's we're going to go for more, but we're going to be smart about the way that we go about it, you know? You look at the game against Santos, and you look at this one specifically against this one that we just saw against San Luis. America wasn't desperate to go find a second. They felt like they it was going to happen, but they weren't necessarily going to have to, you know, bend over backwards to try to make it happen. You know, one thing that I really enjoyed was seeing how they knew that San Luis would cave in. So what they did was they gave him the ball, and San Luis slowly but surely started, you know, advancing their lines and trying to find a way to attack America. And America soaked up the pressure very well and found themselves on the counter a couple of times. And that's how we found the second goal And so, again, kudos to Jardinet for playing it the way that he did. But yeah, it's nice to know that there's this sense of feeling that, hey, all we need is one and the rest are going to fall into place.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about that short amount of time that, you know, kind of let San Luis have the ball and, you know, to see Malagon really step up the way he did and probably like what his first two saves, you know, really big saves, you know, good saves, you know, that you want to see from your number one goalkeeper too. So it's nice to see that. It's nice to see, you know, it's not necessarily what you want, but to see the defense and Malagon hold up and to be able to, like you said, go on the counter, you know, and be able to take advantage of those chances and put one in the back of the net too.
Absolutely. I think Malagon deserves his praises. There was a moment in where San Luis gave us a pretty good scare. I think it was in that corner that they got after Malagon's save, where they get a free header inside the box and Malagon does well to kind of get down and parry that one away. That one seemed like a little bit of a nerve-wracking moment. But again, it feels like, again, Malagon is doing what needs to be done from a guy of his caliber. Just oozes confidence into this back line. And, you know, it showcases. You see a very much comfortable Israel Reyes next to Sebastián Cáceres. Sebastián Cáceres that, you know, seems to be the veteran leader in that back line. Dylan, imagine going back in time and telling ourselves back like 4 or 5 years that Sebastián Cáceres would be the leader of that defense, right? Who would have thought? Yeah. No one. So
yeah. I think we'd be kind of laughing right now.
So. Yeah, we wouldn't believe ourselves. Absolutely would not believe ourselves. But yeah, I mean, it's great to see that América is firing on all cylinders, like you said, not just from the attack, but from the defense as well. Very balanced team. And we're still missing a couple of players, though, you know?
Yeah. No Henry, no Buffalo.
Yeah, no Diego Valdez either.
No Diego Valdez, yeah.
So,
and now Kevin probably for a while, too.
Yeah, yeah. That I think that's the only negative side. That's the only downside to this one, right? It's the Kevin injury. And, you know, it's unfortunate because it's kind of self-inflicted. The way that he kind of falls onto his own ankle. Hopefully it's worse than it actually is. Hopefully it's one of those things where it's swollen, right? It's a rolled ankle. It's swollen. Maybe he's out for like 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Chris, but I don't know if you already read it or saw that in the chat that Kevin went to the hospital for a test, hoping that it's not nothing serious. So.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed and, you know, hope. Because, look, Kevin was playing amazing.
Yeah.
You know, he's back in form, looking like the Kevin Alvarez that we all knew and loved.
Yeah. I think I kind of gave him a hard time, too, towards some performances, too. And now that he's back, too. So, you like I said, you saw what we're used to, and then now it's just kind of, you know, see how it takes. And then if he comes back, you know, if he's going to be in that same form or if he's going to start out a little slow.
Yeah, so, I mean, fingers crossed that Kevin is okay. But I guess in Dagoberto we trust. It looks like he's going to be the one kind of taking over that right-hand side. And he did so for majority of last season as well, but primarily because we needed to get those youngster minutes. And now I think it's because of the necessity. Unless you're willing to put in Israel Reyes on that right-hand side and you slot in Ramón Juárez in the center-back partnership. But I do think that Jardinet wants to keep the center-back partnership kind of thriving. And so I do think that Goberto will slot in there. And look, he has the pace for it. He's got the skill for it as well, too. There was times where he was going 1v1 against a San Luis defender, and I wanted him to kind of show some of that trickery. But I guess he was playing a little bit more conservative, not trying to lose the ball. But look, when you're 3-0 up, just go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see going forward how Jardinet handles that, too. Because like you said, Israel can go to that right side. And you put it on one. I don't think you go wrong either way, but like he kind of just said too, I don't want that center back partnership disrupted. So I mean, Dagoberto, you know, held up fine. You know, I don't think we had a lot of complaints. You know, we did see some things that are just kind of like, okay, like, you know, you need to clean this up kind of thing. But other than that, held his own ground, did great. And so I don't think you go wrong either way, depending on what Jardinet does. I feel like, you know, he's going to do that in a game a couple times, depending on how he lines up.
Absolutely. Well, I'll open the floor to you, Dylan, to say anything in regards to this matchup that, you know, you kind of want to address. I kind of already said everything that I could have possibly said whenever I started the live show. So anything in regards to what you kind of wanted to highlight or something that you want to talk about, the floor is all yours.
I'll just kind of say it again. You know, it's a great win, you know, especially with a good chunk of the first team back, you know, if you're looking at it, you know, starting off, you know, undefeated, even though the team isn't in general, but, you know, most of these starters back, you know, 6 points, you know, that's all. I think that's what we wanted to see, especially, I guess, in the sense of shortened preseason, even though we kind of had just like that one game against Inter and then that one game that was behind closed doors, I think, that, you know, nobody really knew about. I think he sent me something on Instagram where you're like, played things. So, but you know, it's still a great start overall. You know, I think this team handled this game well. I think, you know, we can obviously take it. Ivan, you know, it's another clean sheet. You always talk about clean sheets too. So just overall happy, you know, just open and ready for the next one too.
Absolutely. And I was very devastated against Santos when we did not get the clean sheet. One, I think the penalty was a little bit soft, but still, regardless, can't put yourself in that predicament. But I do think I thought the defense played well, and I thought that they deserved to walk away with something like that. And it was unfortunately that they didn't. But in this matchup, they did well. You know, the little times that they were called upon, I think they did good. We already highlighted what Malagón was capable of doing. So yeah, I guess kudos all around. Round of applause again. It's a good feeling. But I guess this is just a victory. Another 3 points. You got to keep yourself grounded and keep working hard because season's barely started, and it's a long road ahead. Long road.
Yeah.
Well, all right. In regards to this game against Santos, I mean, I already highlighted the fact that, you know, Sendejas played a wonderful game, got himself 2 goals. Victor Dávila started showcasing what he ended up showcasing tonight against San Luis, that he is more than capable of fulfilling that number 9 role. I mean, overall, it's the first game back for these starters. How did you feel, or how did you see them in that matchup against Santos?
I expected, you know, a little bit, I guess, of a slow start. You know, I feel like, in a sense, like, I guess the first half, you know, it was a little bit, you know, back and forth between these two. But, you know, getting 2 goals before the half, you know, that's something that's obviously really huge and a big boost for this team. I think that's something that that was really needed, you know, to come out and show out, especially, like you said, Dávila, you know, scoring the first one, then Sanchez scoring, you know, 2 minutes into stoppage time right there. So big overall, you know, I think they kind of showcase what could potentially this team could be throughout the season if they keep that consistency. And again, you know, just kind of going back to the San Luis game, I think they did that. You know, I think they showcased, you know, what this team is capable of. I feel like, you know, they found some good rhythm, and so it's just holding on to that rhythm, and I think they built on that a lot from the Santos game.
Yeah, it was such a quick turnaround, right? I mean, Saturday, then you're playing on Tuesday, it's on the road, and then you have to fly back home. So the fact that they were able to kind of continue that in this matchup against San Luis, again, shows very good character and shows that, you know, this team is in the right direction, and physically speaking as well. You know, I mean, our only injury is not due to anything muscle related. It's just an unfortunate self-induced injury in the way that he lands on his ankle, Kevin. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good performance as well. We did seem to start off a little bit slow. At that, do you think that we gave Santos a little bit too much of the ball at times, and maybe we were a little bit too cautious or careless, whatever you want to paint it as? But I think we weathered the storm, and something kind of changed, like after the 15th, 20th minute, and the team started realizing again who they are, what they're playing for, and we showcased that, look, there's a reason why we are the three campeones, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was good to see that, you know, the team was able to produce and perform in that sense, and yeah, I guess we'll just...
I imagine, too, this team is really fresh too, in some ways, you know, despite, you know, just that one preseason game, like I said, against Inter Miami, and then, you know, the friendly behind closed doors. You know, I think if they were to start this season, like, you know, from the first jornada, you know, up until now, I think it might be a little different. But I think just knowing how fresh this team is, you know, it came to show, and it's showing right now, I think.
Yeah, from having a 3-week vacation to having a month and a month and almost like a month and a week or two. I mean, it's huge. You know, the body needs rest. These players aren't robots. It's the reality of it. They need, you know, they need the rest. They need the vacation. And yeah, it's looking like it's a breath of fresh air for the whole squad, you know. And the youngsters are coming in and doing a good job as well. So it adds, you know, good pressure, like we mentioned last week, that they have to produce and they have to perform. And they're building on top of what they did as well. And I guess that's nothing but applaudable from this whole team. But yeah, that was practically it. America walks away with 6 points in the matter of 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. And we talk about the importance of making sure you win these winnable games right on paper, because I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, you need to stat pad as much as you can, because you're going to be coming into CONCACAF Champions Cup and where you're going to put a lot of focus on that competition. So you're going to need to kind of not necessarily put the league on back burner, but maybe you're going to have to do what you did at the beginning of the season, hand it off to the youngsters and say, you know what, you guys go out there, perform and produce. We got bigger fish to fry on this end. And if you have a good cushion, you know, maybe a loss or a draw here and there isn't going to be the end of the world. And you could still see yourself in the top 2-3 spots in the league come around Liguilla.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, I think right now it's setting the foundation, and you know, to be what, 10 points right now and on at the top of the table.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good start, you know, to for another. So,
and how many times were we here last season talking about these games where they're must win games because X, Y, and Z, and you're letting these points slip and so it's been a whole 180, excuse me. And yeah, it's just, oh, it's really nice to see that America is producing the way that they are in that sense. And I guess, you know, hope that this team can continue to do what they're doing, because we're seeing an evolution of this America side. So, all right. Anything else to add on in regards to either the Santos or the San Luis game?
No, I think we pretty much, you know, hit on it. You know, I think, you know, if anything for the Santos, I feel like maybe the start of the second half was kind of similar to the start of the game too.
Yeah.
You know, a little slow, but you know, figure out a way you bag two goals too, and you know, kind of seal the deal. But you know, other than that, nothing really to complain about. I mean, how do you complain about winning? So
it's true. And look, we can, because we have before, but I think that you ease into it and you realize that, yes, I know that this, the way that we were playing against Santos, maybe he isn't going to cut it against the likes of Tigres, or, you know, who else is in the top of the table right now? I can't remember. I know Tigres is second place, but against those,
Nica, yeah, Leon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're going to find a dip somewhere, but against your big rivals like that, I don't think you can, you know, you can have starts like that, because you are going to get punished. But I feel like if you see improvements as not only the game, but as the season progresses, then as long as you're going forward and you're not moving backwards, then I think that it's what we want to see. And again, instances in this matchup against San Luis where I thought we were, you know, lapses of misconcentration, we weren't looking like we were getting out of third gear. But at the same time, it was because you had the game managed. You didn't necessarily need to have a perfect 90 minutes, like you mentioned. It was, can you have a perfect 45, 50 minutes and then find a way to coast through the rest? And America did so. So yeah, again, really, really good stuff on that end in regards to what America was capable of doing. But right, Dylan, if there's nothing more to add on, I guess we might as well jump into the next segment of the episode, which is going to be transfer updates, transfer rumors. Dylan, the January transfer window is coming to an end. We are, what, today's the 28th, 29th, 30th, 31. So we got about 3 days after the end of this recording. 3 days until this window closes out. And honestly, we're right where we started since the beginning of January when we started podcasting. Nothing to showcase for America in this transfer window. It was, you know, the only thing we have is that Richard Sanchez and Racing are close to finally agreeing a salary. And it really, it's going to come down to whether or not Richard just wants to stay or does he want to go. There's a lot of external factors, right, in regards to his family, the, you know, his life here in Mexico. It really, it's a coin toss. It's basically, you can toss a coin in whatever, whatever it lands on. Wouldn't be surprised either or. So, I mean, that's honestly the only thing I got. The Diego Valdez thing seems like it completely fell off. Doesn't seem to be anything concrete. No one looks like they're going to come in, at least for the next 2-3 days. It doesn't sound like anyone's going to come in for Diego Valdez. He looks like he's going to stay. I mean, your take on the fact that, you know, one, Richard might be leaving, and two, there's still no news about anybody potentially going anywhere.
Yeah, I think we talked about it, probably a couple weeks ago too. Like, I think maybe before the start of the season, how, like, you know, it's frustrating. You know, I know you said it too plenty of times, and I agree with you. You know, it's hard to do it in January because you have such a shorter amount of time than you do in the summer. But yeah, I still find it frustrating because, you know, you want to have, you know, you want to see your team making moves. I mean, you've seen other teams make some moves too, and you're wondering, you know, like, why aren't we doing the same to, you know, stay competitive? But regardless, I think, you know, you've seen these four games, you know, with the U23 and then two back-to-back wins with, you know, a good chunk of the starters, you know, the first team players. You know, I kind of see it as maybe the board feels like, you know, they like what they see, they like what they have right now, regardless of who leaves. And plus, too, I think it's hard because, you know, we're capped at 400 spots, you know, so we really need somebody to leave to bring somebody in, unless it's a Mexicano, which, you know, I can't recall anybody, you know, to fit that bill, you know, would be coming in. So I think it's frustrating overall, but I also see, like I said, the board thinking of, like, okay, like, we got what we need. You know, I feel like in a sense, after seeing, you know, what the U20 players did, I feel like they're going to roll a little bit of the dice and see what they can offer throughout the season, especially with the league and then champions, you know, coming up.
Because it doesn't help that you've won 3 consecutive titles with this squad, right? Without even necessarily having to move it.
Yeah. And like we've always said too in this podcast, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So.
No, absolutely. And look, I get it. I'm not saying that we necessarily have dead weight, but we do have maybe one or two players that we can offload and maybe potentially reinforce the squad. The last thing I want this side to be is complacent. The last thing you want to do is get comfortable with this team and think that, you know, this team can progressively continue to get better. Can it? Some players, yes, absolutely. I think there's still a ceiling to be reached with the majority of these players, but there are some that are maybe, you know, plateauing, and you have to start finding alternatives, right? Whether there it's in your youth academy or whether it's someone outside, but you need to find ways. And look, I'm not saying that this January transfer window was going to be super important for America, and if you didn't get anyone in, it was going to be so detrimental that you weren't going to be able to compete the way that you have. I'm not saying that, no, but we do need, I do think, at least one or two new faces to come and, you know, revitalize this team and showcase something a little bit different, because you can't be so predictable, you know? And I think that this America side needs to do something, right? And if it's not going to be in January, fine, but you need to have a big summer. So
yeah, you do.
That'll be interesting. Because look, at this point, money we have. And I'm not saying that we spend most of it on the Estadio Azteca, which I'm sure we have, but we have money, you know? Yeah. And I'm not saying that we're broke. For like 3-4 years done, all I said, the reason we're not bringing in people is because we're broke. Now we have money. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think everybody's been calling this since Quiñones left. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just what you just bring in Davila, and that's it. No offense to Davila. I mean, we just praise him. But it can't just be him either, you know?
No, yeah, it's true. 100%. It just can't be. So we have Chris here on the chat who is unfortunately unable to make it, but he said, what if Richard leaves last minute and they go after free agent? I mean, that's plausible, but I don't know anyone in the free agent market that you could say, wow, comes in and completely, you know, turns this team on its head.
Chris is going to think of somebody random, and I'm just going to be like...
Yeah, same. I'm sure he's typing it in right now. So yeah. We'll wait for Chris's response. But yeah, look, it's a quiet market. It's the reality of what it is right now with America.
I feel like that's how January's always been too with this club.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to move players around when your hands are so tied. Look, the wages are ridiculous what we're playing some of these guys, and they're not going to make the same amount of money, so... They're not going to want to necessarily leave elsewhere unless that contract runs out.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my God. Chris said that he does have someone. It's Escobosa. How do you ban someone from the chat?
That was like, what? 5 years ago?
Yeah. There's a reason why he's a free agent, Chris. There's a reason why he's a free agent. Look, the reality is that this was going to go down to the wire. If America is going to bring in somebody, it's only because someone leaves. And even then, if someone does leave, I don't know if the priority would be to register Igor Lichnowsky, you know?
Yeah, that's true, too.
So there's a lot of questions roaming around America right now in regards to what this squad is going to look like in the next... 2-3 weeks, you know? And to be honest, I don't think we have the answers, you know? That's the reality of it. And it's weird, too, that it's been... Typically, it's a very quiet market for America in regards to moves, but it's never necessarily a quiet market in regards to the rumors coming out, Dylan.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean...
That felt slow, too.
Yeah, like this January transfer window has felt very different in the sense that not a lot of reports are coming out. Not a lot of people are willing to say, you know, X, Y, and Z is coming to America. As preposterous as it could be, you know, and as fake as the rumors can be, it just doesn't seem like anybody's willing to kind of stick their neck out. And maybe that's kudos on the team for kind of keeping everything airtight.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, we heard Ledesma, then that just like fell off like drastically. Like,
yeah.
It was like the offer was too low, and that was it. Like nothing else happened after that.
We're just chucking pennies at PSV, and they wanted dollars. We said no. Best we can do is a dime.
I guess all we can use when it really went to the Azteca.
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if Azteca is going to be ready by October. Then yeah, I could see the Quiñones money went all to the Azteca.
No, I bet the Quiñones money went to that stadium they're playing at Deportes where they're painting the seats.
That's
like yellow.
That's where the money went to paint the stadium. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, whoever is our financial director over there, a lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of questions. But yeah, I mean, look, follow us over on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on with Las Águilas de la América, especially in the transfer windows. Look, we're going to run it down to the wire. You know, January 31st will be an interesting matchup. Will be an interesting day, excuse me, for whatever happens in the world of Las Águilas de la América. Will Richard stay? Will Richard go? I don't know. You know, it's up in the air. Honestly, that's the only concrete player that we could potentially see leaving, unless Dylan, yes. I don't know, something that left wing happens and I don't know, Cáceres leaves or something.
I mean, I like I said, less of left wing, but here left field, but here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Alrighty then. Well, that's the transfer segment of it all. We do have some club news as well to talk about, and then we'll finish off the show with the preview against Juarez. Another one of those games where you can stat pad, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So, Dylan, this is kind of breaking news. I guess it's only a day old, but ESPN in Mexico broke the news that America is lining their sights for a pretty big anniversary celebration, and they're projecting, or they're at least trying to get the logistics all in order to get a friendly between them and Real Madrid at the Estadio Azteca come October 12th. I mean, if you wanted to celebrate in a big way, I guess there isn't much teams out there that could do it the way that Real Madrid can do it, right? So it paints for an interesting matchup if it does come to fruition.
Yeah, and I think you, and I'll say it, you know, here on the record for everybody, like I said in the group, you know, what better way, you know, than, you know, two biggest clubs in the world to be the first one to step on the new pitch inside the renovated Azteca at the time. So I hope it happens. You know, I hope they realize, Madrid, that, you know, we're at the same caliber as them. We're big too. So I hope that's something that can really happen and it come true.
And I'm sure it must be an honor, you know, for them to be considered in something like this. You know, it showcases, like, it's like you mentioned, right? It's the two biggest teams in the world, right? And to have the honor to face the number one team in their own stadium, I mean, it's what more can you say, right? You invite number two Real Madrid to play against number one America, and I'll die on that hill. So, it's an interesting matchup. Look, if the stars do align and America does end up facing Real Madrid at the Estadio Azteca to kind of inaugurate this remodeling, it's gonna be huge. It's gonna be one of those games where you tune in just to tune in. The only downside to this is I do think that might be Fecha FIFA. So we might not get the A-list players for both sides, which is unfortunate, but we'll see. I'm not 100% sure if that is a FIFA date. It might be with the way that things are lining up, but still, I mean, I don't want to say, you know, RB team versus their B team is still the same thing. It's not as big of a celebration. But it's going to be interesting to see. It sounds like America has something planned for not only the anniversary, but the reopening of the Estadio Azteca whenever we do get to go in there again. I don't know. But at the end of the day, look, America, Real Madrid, Estadio Azteca, number one versus number two in the world. I mean, what more could you say? You want to see them go at it. Goliath versus Goliath.
I can't wait to see how many half jerseys we get.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh my god, that would be amazing. Ah, man, if only Ilian and Hernandez was still on here, right? Because you could have had the half and half jersey. One of us could have said Ilian and the other one said Mbappe. Would have worked on itself, absolutely. But yeah, that's the breaking news that happened that we saw literally, I think, 24 hours ago, around this time is when the news broke.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, so America versus Real Madrid potentially happening on October 12th, the 109th anniversary for Las Águilas del América, which would be huge. I mean, absolutely huge. Probably be Real Madrid's biggest game of the year if it does come to happen. I don't have any other more club news. I think that's pretty much it. I'm trying to see my notes here, but I think that's pretty much everything I had. Look, like we said, we'll keep you guys up to date. I mean, follow us over on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, of course, Twitter. And we'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. All right, before we jump into this preview against Juárez, I just want to give a huge shout out to the ladies who are continuing their great run of form, Dylan. I mean, it's if we think we're scoring a lot of goals, you guys can see their tally. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're putting up numbers like it's nothing. Prime LeBron numbers is what I'm going to say.
Prime LeBron numbers.
But no, yeah, shout out to the ladies. Shout out to AJ, who's doing a fantastic job covering both the ladies and the men for us over on our Twitter page. So whenever the ladies do play, make sure you guys tune in, not only to their matchup, but also to our Twitter our Twitter timeline, because AJ does a wonderful job keeping you guys up to date with the goals, gifts, reactions, and everything for both the women and the men. But yeah, shout out to the ladies who, again, they're undefeated as well. But they're producing like crazy.
And have only conceded one goal too so far.
Yeah. That's even crazier. So a lot of clean sheets.
What's like a goal differential of like, what, like plus 15, 20, something like that?
I will get you that number specifically. Just give me a minute here. I will pull it up so that way we're not doing them any misjustice here. But they have plus 21, Dylan.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, shout out to them. They're absolutely killing it. And hopefully this could be the year that they can lift the trophy as well. And they deserve it. They've earned it. So, yeah. All right, Dylan. Let's kind of wrap up the show here with the preview against Juarez. And it is a home game. So, no traveling whatsoever for this one. We get to stay in Mexico City for the entirety of the week. Again, another important game, right? I wouldn't sell it as a huge matchup for America, but it is, again, an important one where you need to continuously get some more reps in for some of these starters. Maybe you look to utilize some of the youngsters a little bit more. Stat pad as well. Look, this is just one of those games where obviously America is coming into this one as favorites. They understand that, you know, there's this need to want and get more and achieve more. And, you know, it doesn't matter who the rival is at the end of the day. You have to beat what's in front of you. And, right, we just want to see them tidy up a little bit of things here and there. It'll be interesting to see, right, with the injury of Kevin, is Dagoberto, is going to be Israel Reyes. I was surprised today to see a very experienced roster. I thought we were going to see a lot more of the youngsters playing against Atlético San Luis, but maybe it'll be a rinse and repeat situation where, you know, we get a lot of the more veteran players out there, and once the game permits, we'll see the youngsters come in. To you, Dylan, what does this game mean for América?
I think this game, for me at least, you know, it's the game to, you know, to continue building, you know, to continue moving forward in this season. Like we kind of mentioned earlier about the Santos game, you know, a little bit of a slow start, you know, even though we kind of walked away with, you know, with a good result, a good win, you know, with there were some things in there that seemed to kind of like, you know, like, okay, like, you know, we can clean this up, you know, let's see how the next game goes. And then we get today, you know, it just seemed like, you know, the team was just going, you know, the whole time. So I just want to see this team, you know, still going with that consistency, you know, like you kind of mentioned earlier, you know, a good like 45, 50, 55 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever, you know, and if you're up, you know, just kind of controlling the game, you know, not risking anything, you know, but if you find the goal, you find the goal, cool, you know, let's run with it. You know, so that's what I'm kind of seeing, you know, is this continuing to build, you know, and having that momentum still in this Juarez game.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at the table here. Juarez is coming into this one with 4 points, right? One victory, one draw, one loss. They still have yet to play their midweek matchup, so we don't know exactly where they're going to fall on the table. But again, you would think necessarily on paper, America is the more favorable team, especially since you're at home. Look, if it's going to be a rinse and repeat of what we saw against Santos and Atlético San Luis, the one thing I will ask is that if you are up by 3 goals already, sub in all the youngsters. I don't understand. Look, I understand why they necessarily keep majority of them in, right? You want to give them reps. You want to give them minutes under their belt. You want to get them used to finishing off a complete 90 minutes for majority of these players, right? You want them to go the full limit. But if we can get this youngster rule out of the way, let's just do it. I mean, against Santos, we only accumulated 38 minutes, right? After two jornadas of accumulating 430-something, it's huge, the gap in between. I want to see us get closer to kind of closing that gap off. I know that Goberto got a good chunk of minutes against Atlético San Luis, so where does that put us on the table? I think closer to 500 than we were, or maybe we'll cross the 500 threshold. I'm not too sure. But look, if by any chance you're up by 3 goals already against Juarez and it's maybe minute 50 or 60, throw in the youngsters, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw them in there. Yeah. We want to see them more. We want to see them get more exposure.
Yeah. Continue building on those first 2 weeks too.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris is saying Ivan's house is haunted with the laughing little girl in the background. The laughing little girl in the background was my son, actually. She was literally outside that door. He was laughing. So don't worry, Chris. Don't need to bring in a priest or nothing to my house. We're all good. But back to this Juarez matchup. I mean, the keys to the victory are going to be literally the same thing that we saw in these last two games, right? Dominating possession, take your chances in front of goal, which is something that we haven't really complained about. You know, it's crazy because we used to complain about it a lot, and not taking their chances. But now it looks like, hey, you're taking your chances. You're putting the ball in the back of the net. And again, it feels like once you get the first goal, the floodgates will open.
Yeah. And I think Chris put it plain and simple. I mean, I mentioned it up today too, that he's loving the way the counters have been going. And I think the counters have been really good too. You know, it's something that's aged well that Chris has said, that I've said too. But, you know, I think the way they push the ball forward has been really, really good to see. You know, I feel like, you know, from Santos to San Luis, you know, the counters have been a little bit more better, a little bit more crisper too. So continuing to build on that, you know, and those goals are going to come, you know, because, I mean, you have the people up front to score and not be afraid to find the back of the net.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm looking specifically, I don't know why I can't talk today, specifically at Brian Rodriguez, who, again, looked fundamental going forward. Like, he's quick, sharp. I want to see him take on a couple more players and be, you know, a lot more sharper with his decision-making in the final third, which he really much was today with that pass to Victor Dávila. I think 9 times out of 10, we see him try to finish that chance on his own, and he squared it, which was a big surprise to me, but he did the right thing. Secure the goal rather than secure the play. So, look, it's going to be an interesting matchup. And as far as predicting lineups go, I mean, again, I would not be surprised if it's a rinse and repeat. I mean, you get literally the same starting 11, right? I'm loving this 4-3-3, by the way, Dylan. This new face to America, right? Not necessarily depending so much on that creative attacking midfielder. You put a lot more emphasis on what your wingers and your central midfielders can do, and the runs that your number nine make. I think that's what works so well so far, is because Victor Dávila is doing everything right up front. You know, and I how can you not start him? Again, you know, it's, I know you have Henry coming back, but how can you not start Victor Dávila?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's a good problem to have. You know, I think that's a good problem for Hadinier to have, knowing that, you know, that there's a player like Dávila that's playing right now, you know, that seems to be in great form. And Henry's still, you know, like you said, coming back. Buffalo's still not even back yet either. So, I mean, like, you know, it's a good problem to have. You have the depth there, but it's just, you know, who do you bench and probably upset that day?
Absolutely. And you know what the funniest thing is? Since we've had Dávila on the pitch, we've haven't really been relying on crosses, right? I mean, let's be honest. He's no Peter Crouch. There's no point of trying to, you know, lob a ball up there for him. So everything's been on the ground. Everything's been very much fast-paced, 1-2. And I like it. I like it. I hate seeing the cross and cross and cross just to kind of always be rejected by the defenders. So I'm loving it. I'm liking it. And I hope that, again, this formation brings a lot of joy to all Americanistas.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll see how it goes.
All righty then. Well, with that said, is there anything specifically, anything else you wanted to focus on in regards to this matchup?
No, just line up. I know you said rinse and repeat, but you put in Dagoberto at the right?
Yeah, you put Dagoberto, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
Even if by some miracle Kevin is fine, I don't think you risk him.
No.
So I think you put Dagoberto on the right-hand side. Or even if you wanted to start off with Israel Reyes there, and then you slowly transition Dagoberto in into the final half of the match, I could see that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but I remember last year, does Dagoberto count towards the minutes, but it's only like half?
Yeah, I think because he's up there in age, right? So I think he's maybe like 21.
He's 20.
He's 20, right? So he doesn't get the full 100. I think maybe he just gets that either 75 or half.
Yeah.
Which, again, I mean, not the most ideal, but
I mean, it counts.
Yeah,
I go back to the start.
The sooner you can get it done, the better. That way, that it's one less thing to worry about. So, I think let's just get it done. But yeah, rinse and repeat with obviously that tweak due to the injury. But yeah, look, that matchup's actually gonna be earlier. We were talking about it this morning. Matchup's gonna be at 3 p.m. Pacific, 5 Central for you, Dylan. That's 6 p.m. for our friends over at the East Coast. I haven't seen an America game that early in years, but I'm excited, Dylan.
Well, I misunderstood the time, I guess. I thought it was at 7 for me for some reason. 5 is like not that great because I watched the first half, but then like I'm in this show for like a good chunk of the second half. So I mean, like, I don't know.
It's okay. I guess you'll be keeping an eye on our Twitter feed whilst in the second half. But yeah, look, it's interesting that America hasn't had an early game like that, but it looks like they'll be opening the Sábado Futbolero, so it should be interesting. And yeah, I mean, hopefully, again, another victory, something good to celebrate. And look, we're closing into February now, and this month is going to fly by even faster than January did. And before you know it, it's CONCACAF Champions Cup, Dylan.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. So,
I guess we shall see. All right, give me your scoreline prediction, and then we'll get you out of here.
I'll go 3-1. I bet he can win.
All right, 3-1. Not liking the fact that we concede again, but 3 goals? Can't complain. I'm going to do something wild and crazy and daring. What if we go 5-0, Dylan? That's just the hubris talking at this point.
I hope that one dude who got upset, because I think he said 7-0. He was like, be more realistic. Like,
just, yeah. I remember that.
That'd be like 6 years ago or something like that.
It was a while ago. He was not happy that I was very confident in this America side. I promise you we didn't win 7-0 that day, but should have said it when we ended up playing Cruz Azul. 5-0, I mean, call it hubris, call it crazy, whatever you want to call it. But hey, this team can do it. Honestly, we could have walked away with more goals tonight. Could have walked away with more goals on Saturday against Santos. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I mean, it's no disrespect to Juarez either, right? It's just I feel like there is a gap in between both teams. And look, you're at home. You have to take advantage of it. Stat pad as much as you can. We already talked about the importance, and continue to do what you're doing.
No, I agree. Yeah.
All right. That game is going to be live via TUDN and VIX. So if you're on the road for whatever reason and need to watch it on VIX, it's available to you as well. And like I said, AJ will be doing a great job covering that matchup against Juarez. And correct me if I'm wrong, but do the ladies play that day too?
No, they double header.
They don't. No double header for AJ, so I'm sure he's happy for that. For AJ. All right. Well, with that said, though, I think that's pretty much all we have.
Yep, I think so.
All righty then. Well, we just want to say thank you to all of you guys who've been listening, who are watching us live. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. We'll recap what this transfer window did or didn't leave, and it will kind of welcome in the new month and see what February holds for us, right? We have a weird friendly against LAFC in the middle of that month as well, which is odd, but we'll discuss all of that and more next week, and we'll get you guys ready for all of that. With that said, Dylan, again, thank you for taking the time out to come and talk all things Club America, man.
Yes, sir. No problem at all.
Alrighty then. With that, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.